You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. California has invested billions of dollars in response to homelessness in recent years, yet the crisis is still a top concern among Californians. The number of unhoused people has ballooned to record numbers, despite funding and new or expanded resources and programs. And it touches every corner of the state, from small to large, rural to big urban centers. Collectively, we all get a front row seat to homelessness on a daily basis, fueling compassion and concern, but also despair and frustration, because it can feel impossible to solve or even reduce. But that's not the case in Texas. The state is gaining notice from California elected officials about its progress over the past decade in reducing the number of people experiencing homelessness, investing a fraction of the money. Since 2012, Texas's homelessness population dropped by nearly 30%, while California's has grown by more than 40%. Marisa Kendall is a reporter for CalMatters, and Marisa took a trip to the Lone Star State to see what Texas is doing differently and if these solutions can work here at home. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So when did you first become aware that there was an interest from California elected officials to look into Texas and its homelessness resources and policies? You don't typically think of California looking to Texas for things.
Absolutely. I've actually been aware of it for a few years. It started out with my awareness of Community First Village in Austin, which is a giant, tiny home village for unhoused people on 51 acres. They have permanent housing for folks and all kinds of amenities like art studios. And they do a symposium every year where people from all over the country who are interested in replicating it come and learn about the model. So this year, I learned some local council members from Richmond, California, we're going to make the trip. So I decided I would go too and see what they learned. But then as I did research, I learned it's far more than just Austin. Houston and San Antonio are also doing really interesting and successful things to solve homelessness. And then also just the state of Texas overall is in much better shape than California.
Mm. You found that in roughly the past decade, Texas's homelessness population, it dropped by 28%. While in that same time, California's has grown by 43%. So a percentage is one metric, but is it a fair metric? So back in 2012, did Texas and California have comparable homeless populations?
Yeah, that's a good question. And Texas had a significant homelessness problem, 10 years ago. Houston had a huge homelessness problem. Today, even aside from just looking at the percentage decrease, Texas has a much smaller per capita rate of homelessness. Those numbers are pretty much the best we have, but you have to mention those should be taken with a grain of salt as well. They come from the point in time count, which is basically a visual count that volunteers do one night, either every year or every 2 years, eyeballing how many homeless people they see. So it's not an exact science.
And that is something that is a federal mandate. I mean, we have a point in time count here in Sacramento, and I believe, big cities or cities across the country are required to do so, or continuums of care.
Correct.
Were you surprised when you arrived in Texas, just, kind of getting a lay of the land, walking around, did you visibly see a difference for yourself when you're talking or thinking about homelessness? Was it visible walking around a large city like Houston compared to Los Angeles or San Francisco?
Yeah. And, I think it's important to note, Texas and Houston have not solved the problem, right? There still are encampments. There still is homelessness. It's still a big problem. In Houston, what I did see a couple years ago, they started a push to clear encampments that has been, a lot of people say, pretty successful for those encampments. They do outreach. They move everyone from one encampment at a time into either housing or into a brand new, pretty nice navigation center. So when I was there, what I did see as I went around was a lot of places where encampments used to be that are now completely cleared. They're fenced in. There are not tents there. In some places, a few tents had come back. But there were a lot of places where you could see that progress, but there still were a lot of encampments that they still had yet to get to.
How does the progress that has taken place in Houston, how does it compare to progress that's been made of getting people out of homelessness here in Sacramento or other cities?
Yeah, I think just one of the big differences in Houston is they actually are able to house people. much more effectively and much more quickly. You know, part of that is everything's just cheaper in Houston. The rents are much cheaper. They build a ton more housing. They have a lot fewer regulations that can stymie housing production. They have a Texas overall has a much higher vacancy rate than California, 10% compared to 4%. So in Texas, you are seeing them just having more success moving people from the street into housing or moving people from this new shelter navigation center I mentioned into housing. Something like 95% of the people Houston moved into this navigation center then went on to housing. You compare that to San Francisco's biggest navigation center, 8% of people go into housing.
Yeah, so that is sizable because in your reporting, you found that Houston's homeless population dropped nearly 60%. In the last decade, where, you know, places like here in Sacramento County, according to the Point in Time count, it spiked to like 230%, and LA counties, Los Angeles counties jumped over 100%. Is Texas or these cities, are they spending the same level of money as California?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Their funding is very different. Texas as a state, they spend hardly any state money on homelessness. As a state, they're spending about $800 per unhoused person compared to California, spending almost $11,000 per unhoused person. And it depends on the city as well. Houston spends no city money on homelessness. So that is a hurdle that their providers have to overcome. But to compensate, they get an outsized portion of federal funds. So in 2021, Houston received about $14,000 in federal funds per unhoused person in that area, compared to, say, Sacramento County got about $3,000. So they're really cleaning up in terms of the federal funding.
Why are they getting more federal funding?
Houston says it's because they're doing a really good job, and the federal government sees that, and they are compensating them accordingly.
But in the end, when it comes to the dollar amount, California is spending billions of dollars on this with a B. Is Texas spending, whether it's from federal funding or local funding, are they actually spending billions of dollars on this, or is it just a fraction of what California is spending?
Well, because the state funding is really non-existent, it's really hard to tell because it's a patchwork of different cities spending or federal government intervening. So it really depends. But I think it's very fair to say California is spending a ton on this problem. It's our number one priority. It's everyone's top concern in surveys, and they're not getting the results that people would like to see.
You also spoke with nonprofits and advocates for homelessness, you know, in Texas. One of them is Mike Nichols with the Houston Coalition for the Homeless. We're going to listen to part of the conversation that you had with him in Houston, but what stood out to you about what's working for him?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I heard again and again when asking people why Houston has been so successful is they said collaboration. They do a really good job of the county, the city, and all the different nonprofits, and even some of the private sector working together to solve the problem. And that is not always the case in California. Like LA County, for example, they have four different groups, government groups that request federal funding. And that's just not the case in Houston. You have a much more coordinated approach.
So more collaboration.
Exactly.
Or effective collaboration. So a big focus was on permanent housing. That's what you've touched upon, versus temporary housing, which includes shelters. So let's listen to Mike explaining why that is important, permanent housing.
It costs our community about $18,000 in federal funds to house someone for a year. That's for the services and the subsidy for the rent. The exact cost of keeping somebody on the street is astronomical, probably five or six times that because of emergency health care and cleanup and other items. The cost of putting someone in jail, which sadly about a third of our people at the county jail self-report as homeless, cost about $35,000 a year. But again, the success of focusing on the housing and focusing on the most vulnerable people going to housing first is both morally responsible and fiscally responsible.
Okay, so given that permanent housing is just more, it's cheaper, but it's also more successful for someone experiencing homelessness. We know that that is a model that California wants to lead with, right? Like leading with a housing first model. But there are big differences between Texas and California. You touched upon Texas has more availability for housing. It is a cheaper state. Is it realistic to compare Texas to California in terms of permanent housing as a major difference within this state?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, Houston, they traditionally don't spend any public money on temporary housing, on homeless shelters. And that's a big difference in California. And that's a point of contention. You have a lot of temporary housing programs in California. Even take San Jose, for example. The mayor there caused a lot of controversy recently because he tried to divert a significant chunk of money from permanent housing into temporary housing. But you really can't do things exactly the same here as in Texas, because in Texas, you do have more permanent housing availability. And here it's so limited that people argue you need a place for folks to go in between while they're waiting. So that's why here you have a lot more, you know, temporary tiny homes and temporary shelters, because people argue, well, you need to get folks off the encampment, out of the encampments, and put them somewhere while they wait for this permanent housing. But then the problem becomes, when you have no permanent housing for them to go to, people sometimes languish in these temporary solutions that are not, you know, up to par.
So it seems like in Texas, at least, you know, we're hearing from Houston, like they all are collectively are just going all into permanent housing. And as a consequence, they don't really have as many, you know, temporary shelters as California has, whereas California has more of a patchwork of housing solutions.
Yeah, exactly. And that, I mean, that also poses a problem for Houston, because even though they have more housing, it's not like people can be housed instantaneously. So they do sort of neglect the shelter aspect. And as a result, I did meet people, you know, who were on the housing wait list. They'd been waiting for months and they had nowhere to go. In the meantime, you know, they were sleeping straight up on the sidewalk with no tent or anything like that.
And how do you stay in touch with people if they say that they are interested in permanent housing, but there isn't a shelter or to find them in? I mean, that's typically a great access point to stay in touch with someone. How do you actually find them?
It's really tough. They have a day center there, which is where I met some of these people, where folks go for breakfast and lunch and to shower. And some of those folks go every day and they get on the housing wait list there and they check in every day. But then sometimes they do just disappear. So, you know, there's no beds there. They need to sleep somewhere. That's why their new Houston's new model of that one navigation center, they say, has been working really well, because you get everyone there. Folks can really just relax there, focus on getting their lives back together, getting their minds right. And then their caseworkers know where they are, and they're not missing when they when their name comes up on the housing wait list.
One of the people who's waiting that you spoke with is Rachel Gonzalez. And so let's listen to her journey.
So I've been waiting since November. And sleeping here outside in the streets.
Do you think you will get housing?
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. You know, and this sleeping outside sometimes can really get to you, you know. Like maybe in a month, you got to think day by day. You can't think about tomorrow, because if you think about tomorrow, think about a week from now, you'll actually go crazy.
How did Rachel deepen your understanding of Houston's approach and challenges to homelessness?
Yeah, her story was difficult to hear, because she was just so frustrated and discouraged with the process. You know, she was coming into this day center every day, getting breakfast and lunch, doing her laundry, getting a shower. And she signed up for housing with a caseworker through the center. And she told me she was asking, you know, every day or at least once a week, so what's my status? And they would just tell her, oh, you're on the list. You just have to wait. And it's such an opaque process. It's not like they tell you what number you are on the list and when your number might come up and how long you might have to wait. So she's just waiting with no real word. And then when the center closes, she just goes across the street and she just sleeps on the sidewalk, because there aren't those shelters. And, you know, Houston and Texas in general, they do enforce anti-camping a little bit more than we do here in California. So there's not really, she doesn't really have a tent or an encampment to go to. She just is on the bare sidewalk.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters reporter Marisa Kendall, who traveled to Texas to learn how the state shrank its homeless population and what it can teach California. But as the big picture, Texas has dropped its homeless population by roughly a third, while California's has grown. When you talk to Mike Nichols, he touched upon this collaboration that takes place within nonprofits and local officials. And Mike Nichols is with the Houston Coalition for Homeless, for the Homeless. So let's hear his explanation about the value of collaboration across homelessness efforts.
I urge the cities and counties in California to work together, to put their egos aside. I'm convinced even in a city like Los Angeles, even in a city like San Francisco, with the right collaboration, the right funding, the right support, the right pragmatism, you will be able to house 85% of those people who are living on the street.
And Houston's home to 2.2 million people, and within the past decade, it reduced its homelessness population by 60%. What stood out to you about the collaboration in a big city like Houston compared to other cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the collaboration is a really important piece because generally, in a homelessness response system, different entities are responsible for different services. You know, often the city is responsible for providing shelter beds, but the county provides all of the mental health services, right? And you really can't tackle the problem effectively unless you have all those resources working together. So what Houston was able to do in about 2012, they sort of revamped their whole approach and pulled everybody together and decided, you know, how can we collaborate? What programs can we bring together? So they got rid of some services that they thought were duplicative. They added other services. That's when that day center I was talking about added a bunch of case managers so they could actually get people into housing rather than just saying, here's a shower. Good luck with the rest of your life, you know. And some counties in California do a much better job of that than others. Santa Clara County has been collaborating pretty well, for example. L.A. County has struggled with that a little bit, but they're sort of trying really hard right now to get that collaboration going. Some L.A. officials recently went to Houston to try to learn how to collaborate better, and they're working on getting a task force together that pulls people from the different branches of the county to sort of emulate what Houston is doing.
Mm. Yeah, and it wasn't only Los Angeles. There were lawmakers or officials from the Bay Area and even Sacramento County. Supervisor Rich Desmond visited Texas. What did he learn from the visit?
Yeah, so he went to San Antonio to visit Haven for Hope, which is this massive homeless shelter that serves about 1,600 people a night. It serves almost the city's entire homeless population in one giant campus. And they basically don't turn anybody away. So as a result of that, you know, you have folks sleeping in really close quarters on mats on the floor or in bunks with a lot of people in a room. But one good aspect of that program is they have services on the campus for pretty much anything you could want in one place. So you can, there's a doctor's clinic, a dental clinic, eye care, there's a hair, you know, you can get your hair cut. So pretty much just all the things you need to get your life back on track, you can find in this one campus rather than having to trek all over the city, which is tough if maybe you don't have a car or what have you. So he toured that shelter, as you know, many people have, and he came away thinking that the all-inclusive model would be a really good model for Sacramento, though he was not able to find any place big enough in Sacramento to pull something like this off. But he said that the county has been working to sort of implement the model in smaller ways, you know, just adding more services on a smaller scale to smaller projects.
What has the governor's office said about the comparison of California to Texas? I mean, you have elected officials going to Texas.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because on one hand, you know, you could say, well, that's that's sort of almost embarrassing for California, because Californian politicians never want to emulate Texas. They tend to have a lot of animosity towards some of Texas's policies, to the point where the state prohibits publicly funded travel to Texas. But the governor's office basically said, you know, our policies and what we're doing a lot. We compare really favorably to what Texas is doing. And they pointed out that the three main cities that I talk about are blue islands in the red state. So they basically sort of defended their policies and said, you know, we have a lot of the similar ideals and, you know, we're doing a ton on this issue. Hmm.
Can California apply anything in kind of like a copy and paste to when it comes to Texas solutions, you know, from your trip traveling to San Antonio, Austin and Houston?
You know, a few places have been successfully replicating the tiny home village that is in Austin on a smaller scale, because Austin's is massive. And in California, it's just harder to find the space. But there's one in Livermore that's been there for a couple of years that has been quite successful, offering, you know, permanent housing for folks. They've, you know, ended a couple dozen people's homelessness. They have different services and amenities there. And then there's another one that is just being built in the San Joaquin Valley that is pretty much seeking to directly copy what Austin is doing. And, you know, even having the, you know, outdoor movie theater, the art studios, all of those little amenities that transform it from just your run of the mill, like homeless shelter or homeless housing, into a community where people can live out the rest of their lives.
Given that you've been covering homelessness in California for quite some time and you just got a wider perspective and comparison by traveling to another state, what do you want listeners to leave with? Because, you know, after learning about these differences, I mean, people can leave encouraged that California can make progress because you can just look to Texas and it's happening, or they can leave more frustrated because it's like we're going in the wrong direction. You know, the numbers keep growing despite billions of dollars being spent.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think it is. Do you want to look at it glass half full or glass half empty? I think we should look at it glass half full. Texas and Houston are proof that it can be done. It's not an impossible problem, which I think is a healthy outlook, because when you start thinking of it as an impossible problem, you stop trying to solve it. And that's what we don't want to do.
Marisa, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is CalMatters reporter Marisa Kendall, who traveled to Texas to learn how the state shrank its homeless population by 28% and what it could teach California. Still ahead, a global soccer tournament with a purpose beyond competition. We'll learn about the Homeless World Cup, which is taking place at Sac State this week. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.